So let's pray and begin our study today. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the privilege you've given to us to be here together. Thank you for all the people you brought to this study. We pray that your presence will be among us as you promised us. That where two or three are gathered, there you are in our midst. So Lord Jesus, we welcome your presence in our midst, and thank you for what you are going to do through your Spirit today as we continue to study your word. I pray that the power of your Spirit will open our hearts and our ears to hear what you want us to hear today. And we give you all the glory and all the praise for being a good and gracious God who loves us with undying, unconditional, and unending love. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
Well, you've probably heard the expression, I don't get mad, I just get even. While reading about the judgment described in the Bible, one might assume that God will get even with sinners for their phenomenal offenses throughout the history of mankind. We think that God will also get even. Well, the truth is that God's judgment is actually an expression of his holy justice. He can't turn a blind eye to sin. In fact, if God doesn't carry out justice, as described in the book of Obadiah, which we are studying, it will be a denial of his holy character. That's why in the shortest book in the Old Testament, we read of God's devastating judgment on an arrogant nation called Edom. I tell you, friends, God's judgment of an arrogant nation of Edom was massive and mighty indeed. It resulted in wiping off the nation of Edom from the map of the world as we have it today. You see, what should actually surprise us is not the massive scale of God's judgments, but that he's waiting so long before judging. Well, for the country of Edom, the wait was over, and God's judgment, which is a necessary expression of his holy justice and holy character, was unleashed finally and fully on them, culminating in their disappearance and destruction as a nation. It culminated in their destruction and their disappearance as a nation. So this brings me to the main idea of our study today. In other words, if you want to ask, what are we studying today? What are we talking about today? This is what we are going to talk about. And please, I want you to listen attentively to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is ready and firmly resolved to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring truth that restores the soul and rejoices the heart for the glory of God and for your own spiritual growth in Jesus Christ. So here is the message in a nutshell, and please listen attentively to it. Listen, God's righteous judgment of a proud nation is thorough and totally devastating. Let me repeat that again. God's righteous judgment of a proud nation is thorough and totally devastating. Oh yes, I know. We might not like to face this sobering truth. But God will not always be patient with those who have no love or respect for him, such as the Edomites. Now, God always is patient, but he will not remain patient forever if people have no love for him, people have no respect for him. God had patiently endured Edom's arrogance for generations. God held his peace for hundreds of years since the founding of the nation of Edom, who had no respect or love for him. But now, judgment day has come upon Edom. Edom must now face the judgment of God. So God's justice is finally and fully revealed in his judgment of the nation of Edom. So please, if you have your Bibles today with you, turn to Obadiah chapter 1. It's a one chapter book. We'll look at verse 5 to 9. Will you please listen attentively as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible. The Bible says, listen carefully now, if thieves came to you, if robbers by night, oh how you will be ruined. Would they not steal only until they had enough? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleanings? Oh, how Esau will be ransacked and his hidden treasures searched out. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border. And the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. They who eat your bread will set an ambush for you. There is no understanding in him. Then the Bible goes on to say, will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esau? Then your mighty men will be dismayed, O Timan, so that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter, so that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us a passage of scripture that can be fittingly described as humiliating and heartbreaking. We are going to encounter humiliating and heartbreaking scenes in this passage of scripture. And so you ask me, what makes this passage of scripture humiliating and heartbreaking that you are so passionate about preaching it? Well, I'm glad you've asked. Please allow me to give you four specific reasons why this passage is so humiliating and heartbreaking. I'll give you two reasons why it is humiliating and two reasons why it is heartbreaking. First of all, this passage of scripture is humiliating because, listen, it shows that Edom will suffer total destruction in God's judgment of her. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31, it is a fearful thing, or it is a terrifying thing, to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, Edom had fallen into the hands of the living God, Adonai Yahweh, and guess what? God so thoroughly judged proud Edom that he made it literally bare. Arrogant Edom was completely ruined. Haughty Edom was crushed. Boastful and self-sufficient Edom was totally ransacked. That is why I say to you that this passage is very, very humiliating indeed. Well, second, This passage of scripture is humiliating because, listen, it spells the doom of the wise and mighty men of Edom once and for all. The Bible makes it clear here that Edom's military might and legendary wisdom could not prevent her total destruction decreed by Adonai Yahweh. The wise counselors and the mighty men of Edom were silenced once for all. Never again would they exert their might and wisdom in leading Edom or shaping Edom's future. Why, with wise counselors and mighty men gone for good, proud Edom, the Bible tells us, is doomed, is ruined, is ransacked. That is why I say to you, this passage of scripture is indeed humiliating. Well, third, but now focusing on why this passage is heartbreaking. You all have gone through heartbreaks in life, but let me show you how this passage is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because, listen, it shatters any hope Edom had in her allies. You see, the alliance Edom had formed with surrounding nations and had depended on in times past, eventually these allies deceived her and prevailed against her in her hour of great need. These allies turned their backs. These loyal friends of Edom turned their backs on her in her hour of need. They were not there for Edom in her hour of great need. The very ones who had enjoyed the bounty and the bread of Edom dealt cunningly, craftily, deviously, and deceitfully with her and employed treachery to bring about her certain downfall. The Edomites on that day of God's judgment had no helpers, not even one, in that hour of their need. How heartbreaking. Can you imagine how heartbreaking it is to have those you consider your loyal friends turn their backs on you in your hour of need? Can you imagine that? People you've counted upon that they'll be there for you when you are in trouble, when you are down and out. But when that time came and you were expecting these friends to be there for you, they all turned their backs on you. That's how heartbreaking it was for Edom. All her allies deceived her and prevailed against her in her hour of great need. Well, fourth, this passage is heartbreaking because it speaks of searching out of Edom's hidden treasures. It speaks of the searching out of Edom's hidden treasures. No doubt, Edom was economically prosperous. It has acquired and accumulated treasures. But in the coming judgment of God upon Edom, the Bible tells us all her riches, all her wealth, all her earnings will suddenly and swiftly be snatched away. Her coffers, her treasuries will be completely emptied. Not a penny will be left to Edom's account. Oh, how heartbreaking. Can you again imagine losing all your treasures and not having God in your life? Well, that's how heartbreaking it was for the Edomites on the day of God's judgment upon them. You see, Edom did not make God her true treasure. It was therefore a staggering and stunning loss for Edom when all her hidden treasures were searched out in the day of God's judgment. Edom had no treasure left. If they had made God their true treasure in life, they would still have had treasure. Yes, lasting treasure, who is God Himself. So the one question I will ask you at the end of the study is the question I'm going to ask right now. And that is, listen carefully to it. Is God your true treasure in life? Is God, revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, your true treasure in life? If God is your true treasure in life, you will still have true treasure and lasting treasure, even if all your earthly treasures are snatched from you. But Edom never made God their true treasure. And so when all their hidden treasures, all their hoarded treasures were searched out, they had nothing left at all. So these then are the reasons why our passage of study is a humiliating and heartbreaking one. So having whetted your appetite with some of the observations preserved in this humiliating and heartbreaking passage of Scripture, it is now my privilege and pleasure to give you an overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present our passage of study from start to finish. I'll do it with three C's. So as you hear the letter C, just take note. First of all, we will discuss the completeness of Edom's destruction in verses 5 to 6. The Bible vividly depicts the utter devastation of Edom, which God is bringing upon her in His judgment. In fact, the completeness of Edom's approaching destruction is graphically illustrated by referring to the pattern of thieves and grape harvesters who had to leave something behind. By contrast, in God's righteous judgment of Edom, the plunderers, whom God will use in executing His judgment, will leave nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. I tell you folks, God's destruction of Edom is not only certain, it will be complete. It will be done without fail. Well, second, we will look at the conspiracy of Edom's allies in the day of her calamity. The conspiracy of Edom's allies in the day of her calamity in verse 7. In the midst of this calamity that came upon Edom, Edom, the Bible tells us, will be forsaken and betrayed by her allies. In Edom's great hour of need, she will have no one to turn to, no one to call upon, no one to help her. Why? Well, the Bible says all her allies will deceive her and prevail against her. The very ones who ate Edom's bounty and bread will, in her hour of need, turn their backs on her and deal cunningly and treacherously with her. And third and finally, we will focus on the cutting off of Edom's inhabitants, including her leaders, in verses 8 to 9. So this judgment that is coming upon Edom is not only going to target the leaders, it will include all the inhabitants of Edom. The Hebrew verb translated cut off in verse 9 is a very vivid and graphic word. It also means cut down or chop down. It also means to destroy the life of man by God or wipe out completely. So this, the Bible says, is the fate awaiting the wise men and the mighty men of Edom and everyone in the land of Edom. With the wise counselors and mighty men gone, Edom is doomed. Their wisdom and their might will not be able to help Edom in the day of God's judgment. But God's wisdom and might will prevail over Edom in that day of God's judgment. So, having given you a concise overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper into it and discover what the precious lessons the Holy Spirit is eager to teach us. We begin with his teaching focusing on the completeness of Edom's destruction in verses 5 to 6. The Bible is going to make it clear to us here that God's judgment upon Edom will result in her complete destruction. God's judgment of Edom will be very comprehensive, if I should say it in another way. It will be a complete clearing out of Edom. That is very, very critical. Now, please, I want you to understand that God did not pronounce these harsh judgments against Edom out of vengeance and vindictiveness of spirit, but he did so in order to bring about his justice. Remember, God is morally perfect and demands complete justice. Never forget that the God of love is also the God of justice. Some people only want a God of love and not a God of justice. Now, if that's the case, then wrong people who continue to do evil will continue to do evil without having to face the consequences of their choices, evil choices. So I'm glad that God is not only the God of love, but he's also the God of justice, who will right the wrongs one day that has been done against his people. But the Edomites were simply getting what they deserved in his judgment. Because the Edomites murdered people, they will also be murdered. Because they robbed, they will also be robbed. So I want you to keep that in your mind as we now proceed to examine the completeness of Edom's destruction. Will you please now listen again to what the Bible says in verse 5 about the completeness of Edom's destruction? The Bible says, if thieves came to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be ruined. Would they not steal only until they had enough? The expected answer is yes. If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleanings? The expected answer also is yes. They will leave some gleanings. Now, the Bible now sets forth the thoroughgoing character of the destruction of proud Edom. It uses the pattern of thieves and harvesters to graphically depict the completeness of God's destruction of Edom. In other words, the complete clearing out of Edom is vividly exhibited by two cases of plundering in which there is still something left. And I will explain that to you, and you will see it for yourself. You see, the Bible is saying here that if robbers break in at night, they steal all they need or can carry. They steal what they find lying open before them. They do not take all. They do not clean house. I remember many years ago when thieves broke into my sister and her husband's home one dark night. When they came under the covering of darkness. But they didn't take everything. They only took what they could lay their hands on as fast as they could before waking up my sister and her husband and her kids. So they went into, they came through the back door, through the window, and entered the living room where they had the sound system, the TV, the clocks, and chairs, and all other things. And they got busy and were very quiet, taking as much as they could. And when they cleared the living room, they didn't go into the kitchen because if they opened the door to the kitchen, it might arouse somebody from their sleep. And so all that they saw in the living room and they could lay hands on without having to make any noise, they took away and took off. In fact, in their haste to get away under the cover of darkness, they dropped a wall clock like that on a wall. So they didn't take everything. And they didn't come back for that clock because they feared in case they return. I don't think they even knew that the clock fell when they were running away. So the point here is that as greedy and mean as robbers are, they don't take everything. They will not take everything. Well, similarly, when grape gatherers, how many of you have gone to a vineyard before and participated in harvesting grapes? Well, I thought some of you came from California. I had the privilege of being in Lebanon, and you can see the grape, the vineyards, big, and I mean, and you have people walking, picking the grapes when it's the season to pick up grapes. So the Bible is now going to use this second image to show us what God is going to do to Edom. So the Bible is saying, similarly, when grape gatherers harvest their vintage, they always leave gleanings as a matter of course. They leave some fruit behind for the poor, according to Deuteronomy chapter 24 verse 21 and Leviticus chapter 19 verse 9-10. So let me read Leviticus because it comes first. Leviticus says in verse 9 of chapter 19, "Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." And then in verse 21 of chapter 24 of Deuteronomy, the Bible says this, almost repeating the same thing. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not go over it again. That is the process of gleaning. It shall be for the alien, for the orphan, and for the widow. So God has compassion and care for the widow, the orphan, and the needy. It says, when you plant your vineyard and it's time for you to harvest, don't go over it again. You leave some for the poor. Now, even if the grape gatherers do not trouble themselves about God's commandments at all, they do not take all. You know why they do not take all? It's because many a bunch escapes their notice, which is only discovered on careful gleaning. So as they harvest in the heat of the day, they do their best, but they leave some. They can't see every cluster, so they leave some behind. So that's the situation with the grape gatherers. The vineyard is not completely bare. It is not left completely bare. They leave some gleanings behind. But now, God, speaking directly to Edom, says, when I judge you, it will be different from the way the thieves and the grape gatherers do it. When I judge you, the destruction will be complete. When I execute my righteous judgment upon you, the land of Edom will be left with nothing. The plunderers and attackers I will use to accomplish my divine judgment on you will not stop where normal thieves stop when they had enough. Your ruin at my hands will be complete, comprehensive. It will be a clearing out of Edom. So, to further depict the utter destruction of Edom, God personally and passionately makes an emotional exclamation in verse 6. Notice what the Bible says there in verse 6. It says, oh, how Esau will be ransacked and his hidden treasures searched out. Notice the Bible uses Esau, the name Esau. We've been talking about Edom, but now the Bible says Esau. Esau. Why Esau? Why Edom? Well, Esau is simply the personification of the nation Edom. Esau is the founder and father of Edom. Who are the founders of this great nation of America? We always have, every nation has a founder, right? Well, Esau was the founder of the nation of Edom. So that's why the Bible uses Esau here. Actually, when you read the book of Genesis, Esau never at any point in his life spoke of a desire to be in a relationship with God. He never even mentioned the word God once in the scriptural record of his life. Esau turned his back on God. He declared his ability to live without God. That is the pride of life. No wonder the Edomites were proud people who saw no need for God in their lives. And this is happening today right here in our nation. There are many people who are seeing no need for God in their lives. As long as they have money, they have good health, they have all they need, a house, a place to sleep or live, there's no need for God in their lives. Esau was such a man, and his descendants followed in his ways. They saw no need for God in their lives. But here God says of Edom that Esau will be ransacked and his hidden treasures will be searched out and looted. Can you imagine if God did that for America? All our hidden treasures searched out and looted. Where will we be as a nation? Well, in the days of Edom, God did that for them because they have no love for God, no respect for God. Now, you see, trade routes passing through Edom enabled the people to acquire great wealth. They were on what is called the King's Highway. It runs from all the way from the region of Syria down through Edom, south. And that was the main highway of trade. And so the Edomites, being on the route of a trade route, accumulated wealth and riches. Actually, the capital of Edom, Petra, was the great market of the Syrian and Arabian trade, where many costly articles were treasured and stored there in Petra. But now God says these will all be looted. These treasures will all be plundered, ransacked, hunted down, tracked down, and searched through. With the loss of these riches, the prosperity and power of Edom were destroyed. The ancient Greek historian, I love to hear things from historian, the Greek historian Diodorus Siculus, that is his name, Diodorus Siculus, indicated that the Edomites safeguarded their wealth accumulated from trade in vaults in the rocks. So they didn't have what we call safe deposits, but they had the vaults of the rock where they concealed all their wealth. But the Bible is saying here that in God's thorough and complete destruction of Edom, Edom's treasure will all be taken and snatched away. And as we will see later in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 11 and 13, Edom carried off Judah's wealth in the day when Judah and Jerusalem fell to foreign powers. The Bible says the Edomites were like the foreigners who carried off Judah's wealth and cast lots for Jerusalem. Guess what? In God's reversal, Edom's own goods are lost to the plunderers God will send against them. So Edom is actually getting what she deserved. She carried off the goods of others. Now her turn came for others to carry her stuff, her riches, her treasures. So God turned the tables on Edom. Well, having vividly described to you the completeness of Edom's destruction, the Bible now turns our attention to the conspiracy of Edom's allies in the day of her calamity in verse 7. Can you imagine what Edom went through? In the day of her calamity, when she was looking and hoping for people to come alongside her, she only experienced conspiracy. In the midst of Edom's calamity, when she desperately needed support from her allies, she will be forsaken and betrayed by them. None of her friends will be there to help her. Notice what the Bible says of this sad state in Edom's life, in the time of God's judgment. The Bible says in verse 7, all the men allied with you will send you forth to the border. It's like they will drive you out of your own land. That's what the Bible is saying. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border. And the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. They who eat your bread will set an ambush for you. There is no understanding in him. Notice the Bible carefully describes for us those who are conspiring against Edom. The Bible does not leave this to chance. How are Edom's conspirators described? Well, the Bible describes them for us in three distinct ways. Let's look at them as we wrap up the study for today. First of all, the Bible says, all the men allied with you. Another version says, all the men in your confederacy. In other words, all those nations who entered into military covenants or treaties with her will conspire against her in the most urgent hour in her life. Now, I tell you, this can happen to this great nation of America. We have allies. If I should ask you to name some of the allies of the United States, who would you mention as an ally?
England,
exactly. That's a big one. And north of the border here is another ally.
Canada,
right. Now, just picture that. All the allies the U.S. has in a day of judgment upon, say, you, the U.S., if God sends judgment, and then all the allies turn against the U.S. Well, this is exactly what is happening with Edom. These one-time trusted allies, the Bible says, will drive Edom out into captivity. They will chase Edom out of her own land to the border and send them into captivity. They will not give Edom help in her hour of need. Rather, they will drive Edom out. They will chase Edom out of her own land. These are the allies Edom had relied upon. But now they turned against her. Edom will seek help and support from these allies, but they will not be there for her. So the first conspirators are those who were in alliance with Edom. And just picture that in your mind as I deliver this message. Picture all the allies of the United States. If they should do what happened to Edom, it will be a terrible day for America. Well, second, the Bible says of the conspirators, the men at peace with you. Now, what does it mean to be at peace with someone? If you are at peace with someone, what does it mean? There's no fight between you, right? I mean, things are good between you and these people. You have understanding. You respect each other. You support each other. You are at peace with each other. Well, these men at peace with you are Edom's neighbors, probably neighboring Arabian tribes who had made commercial treaties with the Edomites. But the Bible says in the day of God's righteous judgment upon Edom, these neighbors will deceive Edom and prevail against her. That's very interesting. Edom's prideful inner deception results in her being deceived by surrounding neighboring nations. Remember in chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, the arrogance of your heart has what? Deceived you. So, Edom itself has self-deception. Edom's self-deception made her blind and foolishly susceptible to being deceived by others. Actually, the Hebrew word for that is used here for deceive is nashah. Nashah. It is the same Hebrew word used in Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. Who knew what happened in Genesis chapter 3, verse 13? Remember, Eve said, the serpent deceived me. Well, it's the same word that is used here. It also means to be taken by surprise or to be beguiled. So the Bible is saying here, by open means or deceptive snares, Edom's neighbors will bring about her undoing. Her undoing. Deception, if you know anything about deception, deception has always been part of military strategy. The British put it to good use during World War II in North Africa against German forces led by General Erwin Rommel. They constructed, what they did was, they constructed pasteboard look-alikes of tanks and airplanes to deceive the Germans. From the air, this fake equipment looked real enough to fool reconnaissance personnel, and it could be easily moved. Well, the Bible is saying here that Edom's neighbors, those at peace with her, will put deception to good use and overpower her by cunning and deceit, or by secret treachery. They will prevail against Edom in the day of God's judgment using deception. They are not going to tell Edom the truth. They will tell lies. Deception. You know what deception does? It fools people. It pulls people in, and then they are fooled. Well, do you know that as a follower of Jesus Christ, a true born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are in a battle where Satan, the arch enemy of God's people, is seeking to deceive you? The question is, how do you defend yourself against Satan, the great deceiver, and other deceivers at work today? Well, first, be a battle-ready, disciplined soldier of Jesus Christ. And second, have an unshaken commitment to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit led Paul to use military terms in his letter to the Colossians, which we studied a few months ago, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, which is a wonderful help as to how to defend ourselves against deception, or to use God's way of overcoming deception. Paul spoke of their good order or discipline, which refers to being battle ready, disciplined soldiers. He also spoke of the steadfastness of their faith in Christ, which refers to having a solid front against the enemy. They had an unshaken commitment to their Lord Jesus Christ and the advance of his kingdom. So the bottom line for us to be able to overcome or to not be pulled in by deception, we need to know the truth of God's word. Remember what Jesus used against Satan when he was tempted? It was the written word. He says, "It is written. It is written. It is written." So if you know God's truth, you are on your way out of deception land. And then be battle ready through a disciplined life and an unswerving commitment to Jesus Christ, your Lord. Now let's quickly complete this message by looking at the third group of people who were conspirators for in Edom's day. The Bible says, "They who eat your bread." Among those conspiring against Edom are those who eat her bread. Now, who are these? Well, they are the outlying tribes who benefited from Edom's prosperity. They received food aid from Edom. Like the U.S. sends food aid to many nations. Can you imagine if those nations, after eating your bread, turn against you? Well, that's exactly what happened in this passage. The ones who had in other days enjoyed the bounty or the bread of Edom now turned around and stabbed Edom in the back. But now the Bible says, in the day of God's judgment upon Edom, these bread eaters will employ treachery to bring about her certain downfall. The Bible says they will set an ambush for her, or they will lay a trap for her, or they will waylay Edom. The Edomites will be able to look to no one for help. Again, I want you to understand that Edom is simply getting what she deserved. But you ask, how so? Well, God willing, we will learn in our next passage of study, that is Obadiah chapter 1, verse 10 to 14, that Edom broke the covenant of brotherhood with Judah, in verse 10 in particular. Now, those who entered into military covenants with Edom and those friends who ate at her table break their covenants with Edom, betraying Edom's trust and driving her from her land. At God's instigation, the covenant breaker becomes broken. So that is why I say to you, Edom is simply getting what she deserved. Please be reminded that those conspiring against Edom in her hour of need were not her hated enemies. Rather, they were her allies. Rather, they were her trusted friends. They were her loyal friends. They were her neighbors. They were those who enjoyed her bounty and bread. And yet, they dealt cunningly, craftily, deviously, and deceitfully with Edom. How heartbreaking. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for this message you've given to us. I thank you for reminding us that you are the righteous God who will judge nations who are proud. And I pray, Father God, that by your power, your spirit, remind us to be humble before you as a nation, that you will not bring the judgment that you brought upon Edom. Now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and grant you his peace. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
Well, as I said to you,